It's a Monday, and it's an autumnal Monday, and I'm loving every minute of it.
My autumny hurts. I had too much porridge. Wendy, you know what the beginning of this song always reminds me of? And I can't find it on YouTube because I would love to play it for you to compare it. Do you remember the commercials for M. Hyman & Sons where they would say, and I quote, this was the song, M. Hyman & Sons, for people who don't know, was a men's clothing store in Chicago that may still exist. I don't know. I don't see their ads anymore. They used to be on very late at night. And it would be a guy banging on a drum, and these were the words to the song. It was, big strong men, big strapping men, M. Hyman & Sons. M. Hyman & Sons.
I totally remember that.
I don't know what those lyrics were referring to. It's none of my business.
Wow.
But that was their jingle. Big, strong men. Big, strapping men. And then they would have a drum similar to that of the opening theme to our show.
I totally remember that.
Yep. It was very late. Like, their commercial started, like, at 1:30 or 2 in the morning and
during,
then would run.
Like, Don Kirshner's rock concert
or
something?
Yeah, you'd see him during then. Yep.
M. Hyman & Sons.
Big strong men. Big strapping men.
Did they have a big and tall shop? Was that their way of saying it?
I don't think
it?
They did. I think M. Hyman & Sons was just, I think, just for your standard guys looking for a suit. But when you went in there, you were a big, strong, strapping man. A lot of Vikings would shop there. Vikings and longshoremen. That was most of their business. Excuse me, can I buy a suit? Well, you're not a Viking nor a longshoreman. I know. I just need a suit.
Seems funny they'd say nor.
Right. Why would they? I don't know why they said nor.
I got nothing, Bill. Here's what I searched. M. Hyman and Son strapping men television commercial.
I looked on YouTube. You know, it's weird because you could say any words in the English language and go to YouTube. You go, I want a mosquito singing songs from South Pacific. And then
you go
to YouTube and there's a mosquito singing songs from South Pacific. But for those commercials that ran for years, no sign of them.
Was that the mosquito?
That was the mosquito singing South Pacific music. That was great. Yeah.
I can't get that high.
Do the mosquito singing, I want to wash that man right out of my hair.
I want to wash that man right out of my hair.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. That was an actual clip we just played. That's funny. Mercy.
All right, Hawk. You do a great Hawk, by the way.
Oh, well, somebody has to. You got to keep the name alive, Wendy. That's my goal.
Well, they should have you in there. We talked to Jason Benetti.
Wasn't that nice to talk to him? You never did before, right?
No, that's the first time I met him.
He's a nice guy. So good at what he does.
But maybe they'll have you in the booth or the boot, as they say. Yeah.
I've already said this about him, but my favorite thing about Hawk is because he tells you a lot of things about players from when he played and like into the early 70s and the 80s, and he just throws it out there, and then it's up to you. It's like watching This Is Us, where you go, is this modern day or is this something?
Right.
I don't know if this happened 16 years ago or if this happened today, but he'll tell you a story, and then it's up to you to decide.
Hawk or old Hawk story.
You never know. So he always compares things, and he always uses the phrase at the major league level. So he'll go, I think that of all the ball players I've ever had a chance to broadcast with or play with, Andy Etchebarren had the greatest, I think, eyebrows of any player at the major league level. You just go, why would you even say that?
All right, listen, they always did the Harry Carey sound-alikes and voice competitions. Why don't they have people up in the booth to do a Hawk Harrelson?
And
you would win.
I would love to win that.
Especially with that eyebrows, Hank Cucubera, was.
Andy Etchebarren at the major league level. Now, at the minor league level, Wendy, we had a lot of players with great eyebrows. I was watching the Cubs game the other day. It was the Cubs and the White Sox, and they show... when you're watching it, they'll show this clip of Harry Carey doing the seventh inning stretch, of course, from when he was alive. This is a 20-year-old clip, and you're seeing Harry up in the booth in his Harry heyday, you know.
With the Sox.
With the Cubs.
I didn't know what they were
showing. They do this at Wrigley, right?
Oh.
So my daughter said to me, and this was a sad moment, she goes, who is that guy? And I go, oh, don't say that. And she goes, no, I know he was with the Cubs at some point, but I don't know who he is. And I go, you don't know who Harry Carey is? And she honestly didn't. And then it occurred to me, I bet there's a whole bunch of people who, you know, it's now become a thing in the seventh inning stretch to show that on the board, but they don't know who that guy is. And that's sad, isn't it?
Yeah. And also with the restaurants, you should kind of know, maybe.
I thought the same thing.
It's not like that name has been... not heard forever,
right,
you know, even though
right,
he's passed on.
Right.
It's still pretty prevalent out there with all the Harry Carries.
Yeah, all right, so that adds to his history. But take a look at a guy like Jack Brookhouse. He doesn't have any restaurants.
Hi, hi.
Hey, hey. Attaboy, Billy. Hey, hey. All right,
did you ever get to meet him?
Oh, yeah, a bunch of times. Once with you. We had him on once.
Oh, yeah. God, push how his book. I blacked everything out? Everything. Blocked it out, I guess. So yeah. I blacked it out.
Yeah.
Did I black
it
out?
You took a marker and you crossed it out. Yeah. Yeah, he came on when
yeah,
we were
I
at the Loop.
Yeah, I remember that.
He was, he had a book he was selling.
He was pretty sweet.
Very nice man. Do you remember this about him? See if you remember this. We were told in advance that Mr. Brickhouse is moving a little slower and might have a hard time with some of the questions.
Yep.
And we went, oh, this isn't going to be pleasant. And when he came in, like before he was on the air, he was very slow and very quiet. And we both looked at each other like, uh-oh. And then the segment started and he was okay. And then I mentioned my grandparents' restaurant, Adolph's, that he used to go to all the time. And he got younger right
yeah,
before our eyes.
I do remember that, too.
He just magically got younger.
Well, I guess people don't know. How would your kids know that?
See, that's the thing. We grew up with those people. So, of course, to us, that's part of the lore of baseball in Chicago, are Jack Brickhouse and Harry Carey. But for our kids, you know, like my daughters were, I think, one or two when Harry Carey died, so they wouldn't know. But it's so funny because I never thought of that angle. If you're a kid and in the seventh inning, you're watching a videotape of a guy you never saw before, really, except
oh,
for
yeah,
that.
I guess.
Who is that guy? Why do we watch that guy?
They show a video of him?
Yeah. At Wrigley, you have two options. For a while when he died, they had a guest. They call him conductor, but it's just the guy singing or girl singing, guest conductor. So for a while, they kept parading those guys out. Ladies and gentlemen, James Belushi.
Right. They don't do that anymore?
They do it a couple times a week. It's not every game like it used to be. So on the games where they don't have a guest, they show the old videotape of Harry Carey singing it. And I'm fine with it.
And they still didn't know who it was?
No. Nope. They knew that it was time to show that clip of the old guy singing. But then, if you press him, tell me a little about that guy. It's just the guy they show in the seventh day. I don't know who that guy is.
All right. Well, what about, like, Mike Ditka? Would they know that he was a coach of the Bears?
No. Did I tell you about when they met him?
No. Well, you did a bit with them, which was great, with Chet Topic,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they knew who he was.
A little bit.
All right. I didn't hear the story of them meeting him, though.
My friends wrote the movie Kicking and Screaming. That's the movie where Will Ferrell is
really?
A soccer coach. Yeah. So there was a big premiere just a couple blocks away from here at the movie theater. And we went to see the premiere with my friends and a couple of other people.
Who did it? I love that. Kind of love that movie.
Leo Benvenuti and Steve
yeah.
Rudnick. They
I
wrote
keep
it.
Forgetting.
Yeah. So we go to the premiere and the stars from the movie are also there. So my daughters line up to meet Will Ferrell. They were very excited to meet Will Ferrell. So there's seven people in line, all kids. Then there's six, then there's five, then there's four. And they're right about to get to meet Will Ferrell. And a lady comes over and says to both my daughters, now at the time they were 7 years old, both my daughters and some other kid, some boy, I hate to do this to you kids, but the movie's about to start. We're going to have to go back to our seats. And I just see the disappointment. They were within an inch of saying hello and getting an autograph from Will Ferrell. So she escorts them out, and then I don't see them for a few minutes. I don't know where they are.
You weren't in line with them?
No. I could see them the whole time in the movie theater, but I don't know where they are. They just vanished with this woman. So then finally, like 10 minutes later, the woman brings Reese and Kylie to the seats, and I go, where are you? And the girls go, they took us to meet some of the other people from the movie. And I go, oh, that was nice. Who did you meet? And they look at each other, and they go, we don't know his name. I go, well, describe him. They go, he's an older man with a funny haircut. I go, I don't know who that is. It was Mike Ditka. They had no idea. They didn't know he ever coached for the team. They didn't know he ever played for the team. They just know he was a funny older man with a funny haircut.
That's pretty funny, but you owe them an autograph session with Will Ferrell.
Yes,
so
I do.
We need to book Will Ferrell on this show, and you have to have your daughters come up.
I can
up.
Do that. All right, let's get that done.
On a smaller scale, we went to what is the railway museum in Union, Illinois?
Oh, yeah.
And we went to ride on Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh.
And I think I was pregnant with Dylan. Michael was almost 3 years old. and we were waiting in line to meet Sir Topham Hatt, and
one of the characters from Thomas the Tank Engine.
And all of a sudden, a woman, they always have women who do this, because she came up and, like the kid in front of Jim and Michael and I, she said, "I'm sorry, but Sir Topham Hatt is going to have lunch now. We'll resume the line later." And Jim just stepped up and he said to the lady, "Listen, Sir Topham Hatt is not having lunch until we get to meet him. We have been waiting in this line for 3 hours and I don't think it's fair." And the poor lady didn't know what to do. So she's like, "Sir Topham Hatt, there will be one more."
Oh, yeah.
And I was right mad move. At Jim, but then I was like, good job, because
did you wait in line for 3 hours?
It was over an hour. It was over an hour. And I didn't think it was fair that he was taking a lunch break. Like, do people stay in that line? They wouldn't let him. They said dissipate and then you can come back and line up again. That's not fair.
No,
for the...
you got to stay in the line.
Yeah, I mean, cut the line off early and say, you know, you're the last person for now. And just have a sign saying no one beyond this point until after Sir Topham Hatt's lunch.
Yeah.
Because it just didn't seem fair. And Jim's like, "Oh, no, Sir Topham Hatt is not having lunch until he meets one more kid.
Wow.
I was so mad at him, and then I was like, good work, Jim.
They always do that at department stores or malls where there's a Santa Claus or an Easter Bunny. They explain that, that Santa has to go feed the reindeer. He'll be back in 40 minutes.
That's when you have a backup helper.
And
this guy can just go from mall to mall, and it's like after that 40 minutes, he's a fill-in for an hour.
Right.
And then if he goes to various locations, he will have a full day's work.
I think the union, the Santa union.
Oh, please.
Insists that Santa gets X amount of time off every hour, you know?
He could stand to fast a little bit. Well. Bowl full of jelly.
You want your Santa jolly, though.
Hangry?
You don't want to. No. That would be bad for Santa. Santa needs to be jolly. He must eat every hour.
Not every hour.
I would say 10 minutes. It's about a 5-to-1 ratio. About 10 minutes every hour, Santa needs to chow down. You don't want him wasting away to nothing. Wouldn't a skinny Santa be very disheartening to the children?
Did you ever see Bad Santa?
Yes. Yeah, several times. I saw Badder Santa.
Yeah, I did too.
Remember that?
I don't know why I watched it.
They put out a special version where they put in even more swears.
I know, and I don't know why I watched it. I laughed.
As much as I love that one, with a lot of movies, like if you love a movie and then the sequel shows up, you got to go see the sequel. For some reason, I've never seen the sequel to Bad Santa. I don't know why I haven't, because the first one killed me. I love the first one.
That was pretty funny.
All right, we'll take a quick break. I think Judy Pyrlak is coming in to get you some news.
Her.
Yeah, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, Bill, you were accurate when you said Judy Pyrlak was going to come in.
She's right over there. Who would have expected it? Hi, Judy.
Me.
Nice to see you.
I'm trying to put these headphones on. Hold on.
Those are the professional Allstate ones.
They're very heavy.
They're extremely heavy, which obviously means they're good, but...
Yeah.
But in the old days, I did not feel comfortable unless I felt the weight of heavy headphones on my head.
Oh, you'll love these.
I did. I tried them on earlier to make sure the volume was adjusted.
Yeah.
I do love them. But
it's like wearing a sombrero made of stone.
I see that you have them. We're one of the very few dinosaurs here who still wear these.
Yeah.
I don't like to mess my... It flattens my hair.
Yeah. Everyone's got the earbuds.
Yep.
And some people only have one in.
Right.
That's how cool they are.
Fashionable.
Oh, I
like
have.
To, you know what? I like to hear my every decibel.
Me
of my
too.
Voice.
And when you're running the board, you have to have them both in because you need to determine if someone's mic is overmodulating. And
right,
that's something too that not every microphone is set at the same level. So people who have it in one ear, I was watching Dean. He was at the HIV walk this Sunday, so I was watching him on WGN TV, and they have the new non-corded earbuds, the cordless ones. I guess is what they'd be, not non-corded.
Mm-hmm.
And
cordless.
Yes. And my husband has them as well. And they look kind of weird because it looks like you have a piece of spaghetti sticking out of your ear or something. They're just white and they come to an end. They're wireless. So, but it's like a wire hangs down.
Not
a
wire, but like a nib. It just sticks out. And I was, Dean just had it on in one ear, but I'm like, wow, he's using the wireless.
Just so you know, because I saw it, Dean also did have a piece of spaghetti coming out of his ear.
Oh, okay.
Very unprofessional.
I saw him wipe his mouth with a napkin. And,
Yep. He was doing scenes from Lady and the Tramp. And somehow.
With himself?
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
Where was the other end of the pasta?
He somehow, I don't know how he did it. He was
got it in his ears.
Yeah, he got
and
it,
then it
from
then
his
he
mouth
just
to
ate
his
it.
Ear.
Yeah.
It was
through his ears.
Wasn't
yeah,
that,
that's
it was
wild.
Strange to watch. All right. Because I'm happy, I'm alone if
you feel like a home without you. You mentioned the Blackhawks. I was watching preseason, and there's this new guy, and I cannot think of his name, and he did like this kind of turnaround move that Kaner has been known to do, and they even commented, you know, very much like Patrick Kane, it was like a turnaround move, and they ended up scoring, and I can't remember his name. He's a new Blackhawk.
Well, there's a couple new guys on the team. I would just be guessing. So
Nunu?
Is it Nunu?
Is that a new guy? Or am I just getting confused?
Nunu guy?
I think he's one of your stuffed animals. I don't think he's an actual...
No, that's Nunzio, panda.
Wait a minute. Do you have a panda stuffed animal named Nunzio?
Yeah, that's the one when I went to Disney World. The first time I went to Disney World was the summer my dad died. My aunt and cousin and sister, we all went so my mom could handle the things at home. And I insisted upon having chicken a la king at a roadside stop. And they said, you get car sick, I wouldn't have chicken a la king. I'm like, I'll be fine. And coming back, I had to throw up in my Mickey Mouse ears and leave him on the side of the road in the Smoky Mountains. And I had also thrown up on Nunzio, my pet stuffed animal, my panda that I got at Brookfield Zoo. But Nunzio could be washed. I had to leave the Mickey Mouse ears. Oh, they were magenta. They said Wendy. They're still on the side of the road somewhere. And
you couldn't go to like a rest stop and clean them off?
Oh, it was bad.
Chicken a la king.
Yeah,
that sounds disgusting.
I was really not a fun kid. And I'm really not a fun adult either.
No?
I decided, no.
That's so awful.
I know.
Judy, I watched the videotape of you and I playing ping pong.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. It's now up on, I think it's on WGNradio.com, I think. So I didn't realize things. Jazz is confirming now. You can see it on WGN Radio if you want to see Judy
and Facebook, I believe.
Oh, it's also on Facebook. And Grindr, for some reason. I don't know why it's available.
Where it belongs.
Whatever. Because I was playing you, I wasn't focusing on this, but... You started out angry and then got angrier as the match progressed. Toward the end, I didn't recognize you anymore. You were just a fireball of anger.
Well, obviously, I thought that I was going to win.
Yes.
Or I never would have even agreed.
Right. But I, like in my head when we played, you were very pleasant. But then when I watched the video of it, I went, oh no, I was so wrong.
I really wasn't that angry. That's just me.
That's just her
being competitive.
I was being funny.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
This is how I'm funny.
No, I get you.
With
are.
A little edge of anger.
Yeah, she's edgy. That's what it is.
Right.
Yeah, she was goofing around. By the way, the guy who did the good stick handling was Dominic Cahoon.
Dominic Cahoon. You said Nunu.
Well, K-H-U-N. I got a couple of the letters right.
K-H-U-N.
Yeah, Cahoon, number 24. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Not Cahoon? Is that Cahoon?
Cahoon.
Is that how you say that name?
K-A-H-U-N.
Oh, K-A-H.
Yeah.
I just said K-H.
Star Trek II, The Wrath of Cahoon.
So now he's going to get like a name like the Big Kahuna.
Oh, you should call that in. That's perfect
I
for
should.
Him.
And I think
who
it's,
do you call that into, by the way?
The Whiteman Hotline. He's got a hotline number set up.
Hi, John. It's Judy.
Hope I haven't caught you at a bad time, but I thought of a funny nickname for Cahoon.
You might want to use this tonight.
This is up to you.
I think it's interesting that they're comparing him to Patrick Kane, who now I look at and I'm like, wow, dude, you used to be so young. Not that he's old,
right?
But he's
not the little baby face anymore. Right.
I remember when they hired him, he was so young, like 18.
Were they 18? I think he and Kane were both 18.
Because he came to the radio station, and I thought he was an intern.
Oh, really?
They were like, would you like to take a picture with Patrick Kane? And I was like, I'm good, thanks. I literally thought he was, why do I want a picture with the intern? I'm just here for the food.
That's funny.
But then when I walked in, I was like, why do they have a photographer in there? Huh, that's interesting.
Because he was going to be Patrick Kane.
Yes.
At some point.
Yes, so.
I have to tell you something strange. I don't know if you guys watch Nightline ever.
No.
I hardly ever watch it because I like the guys that are doing the late night shows. So if I'm not watching Colbert, I'm watching Kimmel. And if not watching Kimmel, I'm watching Fallon. So the trickle down is I hardly ever get to see Nightline. But when I do see it, there's a woman on there that I like a lot. Her name is Linda Lopez, right? So the last three or four times I've watched it, when she does her report, I go, wow, that Linda Lopez is really pretty good, right? So the other night, they did a report about how the flooding of now in the Carolinas, how it stands up against what went on in Puerto Rico. So she went out to Puerto Rico, and all of a sudden, she's interviewing Jennifer Lopez, and I'm watching this interview, and I go, wow, they could be sisters. And then she says, my sister Jennifer pointed out something.
What?
Yeah, J-Lo's her sister.
I had no idea. Every time I see her, I like her. She didn't remind me of Jennifer Lopez. I didn't think about it. But then as soon as I saw them together, I'm like, oh, of course. There it is. Why didn't I know this?
And Jennifer Lopez was in Puerto Rico?
Jennifer Lopez was in Puerto Rico helping out nice. With, you know, the effort to make things
Which
normal
is,
again.
It's still not normal.
No, it's not. Far from normal. Very
okay,
normal.
Have you been to Puerto Rico?
I've never been.
I have been to Puerto Rico. And this is what's so weird about President Trump, because I almost understand what he was trying to say, but couldn't say it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that the infrastructure in Puerto Rico was very weak.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing to do with the amount of people they say died. That's just a fact. That because of the, you know, I mean, it was
complications,
like the secondary and
yes.
the third, yes. But it's true. And I mean, what people should be focusing on is, it's not like I would hate to say, oh my God, this hurricane could be a good thing, because it's never a good thing. But their infrastructure was very weak.
Yeah.
And now I feel like,
primitive.
Make it, yes.
Yeah.
It was like they were trapped in the 70s. I was really surprised. I stayed in a great place. It's like San Juan is very metropolitan and really reminded me of Chicago a lot. In an old way. So where all the boats come in, but I stayed outside of San Juan in a little neighborhood, and I just was so surprised.
But don't you think it's because the priority of Puerto Rico is so low?
Right. It's
like
because
when they're allocating funds.
Yeah, Puerto Rico doesn't. Yeah, exactly.
So a lot of people, I hate to say this, there are plenty of Americans that don't realize that Puerto Rico is part of the United
States. Right, that they're Americans.
Right.
Most people don't.
Right.
Even in the newsroom.
What year did that happen, though? Because we were talking about that at home, and I couldn't. I'll look it up.
I felt like it was the 70s, but maybe not.
I think earlier.
Maybe.
I thought later.
Really? Yeah.
I don't think later, where they became a commonwealth.
Yeah.
No, because growing up in the 70s in Chicago, I lived in a really big, in Bucktown, which was had a very heavy Puerto Rican population.
Yeah.
And they were already a commonwealth. Because because they would just come and go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my point being, this is now an opportunity. Which is why I think Congressman Luis Gutierrez is just folding it up here and saying, I'm going, he's going to be governor of Puerto Rico, mark my words.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's an opportunity to give him the money to build that up, because it is a great island and you don't need a passport. And
yeah.
It's a great place to go on vacation, I think.
Is
you
it
don't
possible?
Need a passport. That's
no,
true.
You don't need a passport. And it's a
States.
Quick 4 hours.
I know, but I think even with Hawaii sometimes, because it's like, you know.
No. No, no passport.
I know you don't. I'm just saying you don't think of it
No,
that
but again,
way.
People don't know that. They don't know that, especially for Puerto Rico. But it is a beautiful island. The people are so nice. They just, it needs something. It needs an infusion of something.
Oh,
I
yeah.
get that. And I'm like, all right, now's the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, because when we were there, our electricity went out like twice. For no
really?
Reason. It wasn't long, but it was just for no reason. And just a lot of the buildings are just everything looked very 70s.
Yeah, right.
U.S. Commonwealth. Puerto Rico first became a U.S. territory following the Spanish-American War, which was ignited by the explosion of the USS Maine in Havana Harbor in 1898. That's how long it's been a commonwealth.
A commonwealth, or was it just a territory?
The war ended with U.S. acquiring many of Spain's possessions, including Cuba, Guam, the Philippines, and Puerto Rico. In 1952, Puerto Ricans adopted a new constitution, which established the current relationship of Puerto Rico as a commonwealth of the United States. So 1952.
Okay.
That makes more sense. Yeah, I think territory.
I think for the first 20 years, there was a lot of friction there. The people, the residents of Puerto Rico, a lot of them didn't want that.
They didn't want any affiliation to the U.S.?
No. In 1917, the U.S. Congress passed the Jones-Shafroth Act, which grants U.S. citizenship to anyone born on the island. Mm. Did it become a 51st state?
No.
No.
But that was, they had wanted it to,
there was
correct?
A movement for
there
it
is
at
a movement
some point.
Now for that. People still talk about that all the time, to making it a state. Because then they can't, they can vote, but they have
but
no representation.
But there's no electoral college.
Right. They have no representation.
They should do away with that anyway.
Oh, I'd be all for that.
Remember we were talking about things, I love when you bring these up, things that the kids graduating today, like since they've been alive, and one of them was since they've been alive, there have been two elections where the electoral votes and the popular vote did not match.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know one of my kids, I won't say who, is very disgruntled with this whole thing because I'm like, you got to vote. Michael's old enough, he's going to vote, but Dylan is going to be 16. He can't vote yet. And he goes, why should we even vote? It doesn't matter.
Oh,
I said, it
terrible.
Does matter. But he goes, it doesn't. Our popular vote, why? I mean, it just seems frustrating. So that's a almost 16-year-old who you got to kind of understand where he's coming from on that.
Well, but I mean, voting could change that. You know, you get the electoral vote because not enough people voted. So that state went to, you know what I mean?
Right.
Voting more votes will mean it means something.
Well, you can't not vote. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And he knows that, too.
Because if you don't vote, then you can't say a word.
Yeah, I know.
No bitching if you
Everybody's
don't vote.
Been saying that.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Except George Carlin always said the opposite. He goes, if you do vote, you really don't have anything to say. It's those who don't vote that can look back on it and talk about what a disaster it is.
Oh, my gosh.
He wasn't a voter.
That's funny.
You know, he didn't vote.
I love voting.
Somebody just explained over the weekend, and did you ever have something explained to you, and then after it's explained to you, you understood it better before it's explained to you? Somebody over the weekend was talking about...
They muddled it up for you?
Yeah.
I would say they muddled it. Go ahead.
All right. I don't know if you know this or not, but the states that have caucuses, not every state has caucuses, but the ones that do can elect what they call superdelegates, right? Which people have said in the past throws an imbalance to those states, right?
Right.
So they were explaining how we've been told now that the superdelegates don't hold the same importance, but it's actually wrong. They've changed the balance. Now, as the explanation went on, they lost me because I go, well, wait, that's a good thing, right? If they don't have them, but then it was explained that they'll still be able to have the same voting block and power. They're just not calling them superdelegates, but it's essentially the same thing. So I don't think that is good news. It's just mislabeling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As
right.
I'm explaining
yeah,
it to you,
exactly.
didn't
I
you
know.
Understand
even,
this better?
I even have an issue, I mean, and a problem understanding that whole superdelegate.
Well, the process should be the exact same in all 50 states.
Right.
And if all things were equal, whoever had the most votes should win.
Right.
There's no other event, sporting, voting, anything,
right.
where whoever comes
make
in
sense
second
anymore.
Wins.
Right, because of the population, and it just doesn't make sense. Yeah,
right.
One vote, one person, and that's it.
That's how it should be. But nobody will change that.
How can
politicians not rally to change that?
Well, because it depends who wins. Then the Republicans don't want to change it now because that's how they won. And then the Democrats will get in that way and then they won't want to change it. So, yeah.
I saw Trump explain, I'm sorry, President Trump, for people who get upset whenever we just say Trump, although he refers to himself as Trump. He was explaining how the Electoral College favors the Democrats. But if you look at recent history, two out of the last four elections have been decided by the Electoral College
and
the opposite way and went
Republican.
So I don't know what he's talking about there.
Yeah.
That's why Dylan feels like it's, what does it matter? My vote doesn't matter. We don't have a say.
And he's a superdelegate.
He is. That's the weird thing.
In a caucus we don't even have.
Right.
I hate that too. But I get it.
But how do I explain that to him? And again, he's 15, so he can't vote yet.
Well, explain to him that a lot of people said that, and that's what happened. A lot of people said, it doesn't count, and they didn't vote.
Yeah, but it's still, what I'm saying how it doesn't count is the majority ruled in one way, and the Electoral College went the other way. So in your heart, you're thinking, why should I even bother?
But if more of the majority had voted, it would have gone the other way. Enough Democrats say voted and
because
you know,
they
that's
thought
how she, and yeah, the Florida, polls, Michigan, to lose those states was crazy because people just didn't, you know.
Because they thought, even Donald Trump, I think, thought Hillary Clinton had it made.
Exactly.
So why
Hillary
should I bother going
that,
to vote?
And she didn't, you know, do what she should have done in those states prior, just the days leading up. She should have gone there. I mean, it was just a series of unfortunate events.
Right. Lemony Snicket.
Well, I went to see one time, took my kid. And,
yeah.
Anyway, so I just feel like, always. It's not, you all, it does matter.
It'd
it
be
does
like going
matter.
To, let's say the Bulls were playing the Knicks in a basketball game, and the Knicks outscored them by 1 point in the first quarter, 1 point in the second quarter, 1 point in the third quarter, but the Bulls won by 100 points in the fourth quarter, and you go, but in three of the four quarters, the Knicks outscored the Bulls, so the winner's the Knicks. No, that's not how it works.
Yeah, no, never.
It's insane that
it is insane.
The most important political position on the planet is decided incorrectly.
Well, what's more insane is the small number of people who actually vote. What every country, they all vote. People,
I love to vote.
There's countries where people's lives are at stake just by voting.
Yes, I mean, like, all of them vote. Nobody doesn't vote.
More people would come out to vote if your life was on the line, if something was life or death for you.
Well, we'll see this election, won't we?
Yes, we will.
For people who complain, who that's all I've heard for 2 years, it's we'll see.
My vote's going for Kanye.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I just say that, and I listen to myself, and I go, God, listen to this ludicrous thing I'm saying. No, he's not running. It's Kanye. Oh. But look, we said this before.
Yeah, I know.
Like, Donald Trump president, like, that could ever happen. I mean, now, honestly, I say Oprah for president, like, that'll happen. Why couldn't it?
Yeah. It could happen. Yeah, I would never say that with jokingly. I would say that.
I don't joke about anything anymore.
No.
I have no jokes left in me. I'm done joking.
It's come to that.
If we've learned one thing, it's that anything can happen.
Right. We never got to the text. There were some sad texts. Well, not sad. Angry texts, I guess is more accurate. Toward the end of our regular show, we were talking about Brett Kavanaugh and the accusers. There's now two accusers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are under the belief, Judy, not myself and not Wendy, that, if something happened 30, 35 years ago, you got to let it go. He was just a kid at the time. He was a high school kid. I'm not a fan of that at all.
No. It goes back to the whole hashtag MeToo thing where I think people need to realize women just didn't talk about it. It happened. And
because
you were like,
you were afraid there'd be repercussions.
Nope.
Or that no one would believe you.
Yes.
Right.
And now, too bad.
Right.
And that's why people are saying, why now does she come out? Well, now she comes out because she wants to, she was wronged
by
this person.
She feels more empowered. And yes.
And now she feels she has a chance where if she does bring it up,
If it's true. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, of course, they're only charges.
Right.
But when people can't even believe that someone would say this,
right,
it's like, well, what?
Right.
Of course, why not? This is a Supreme Court justice. It goes to his character.
And someone texted earlier, and this is what you were referring to, because we read this before we went on the stream. By giving this lying accuser credibility, you harm Mrs. Kavanaugh and her two daughters, which we totally agree with if it's a lie, but it needs to be discussed. That's all. We need to get to the bottom of it.
The person who says that, this lying accuser, I mean,
and
you're just as bad. You're now whatever, you're just as bad as what you've just said.
But if this woman, and I can't think of her name.
Christine Blasey Ford.
Okay. If she is, if this turns out not to be true, I mean, I don't know whether she finally admits, I was lying, then she needs to be prosecuted
well, there's,
too.
There's another accuser.
Yes, a second person.
And the other one's from Yale, so the college. I mean, we'll see. Yeah. Generally, in my experience, and not all the time, but generally, you know, two accusers now. I mean, someone who does that, a guy who does that, doesn't generally do it once.
Yeah.
That kind of behavior.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? That behavior is, and I'm not saying it's even, I mean, I guess the FBI does have to investigate because it's a Supreme Court nominee, but I mean, no one's saying it's criminal because it's not. Nothing did happen in the end.
Because she fought it.
It's just not cool.
It's not cool. It's not, it is, I mean, at the time, you could have prosecuted.
Right.
Well, there's the thing. At the time, you probably could not. At the time,
no one would believe you.
And even if you made it, they would have been like, what? So nothing happened. You didn't get hurt.
Right.
Now, now that would never fly. We live in a different time, and thank goodness.
Yeah.
And
but
yeah,
this,
that's
but this
why
is
it's
a guy
out.
Who potentially, if he gets to the position he wants to get to, makes major landmark decisions involving
affecting
the country.
Us all.
So for anyone who goes, why would she come forward now? It's because the realization was there is this guy's going to be a major voice in this country for the next 20, 30, or 40 years. I got to do something. I can't just sit back idly.
And if it's true, then this man, his actions speak louder than his words.
Sure.
I mean, his actions tell you what he might do to make law for this land.
Right.
So,
and
absolutely.
Again, it goes back to
not
all,
to make law, to decide law.
But it goes back to if you say, geez, I don't know that I 100% remember this, but got to be honest with you, this might be something that could have happened. I thoroughly apologize. It's, you
but
know,
instead,
I,
it's no.
It's just, no.
Absolutely not. And did I thought I just read this over the weekend that he looked at a calendar. He said he had kept a calendar and he didn't even see a party on that.
Oh, please.
You kept a calendar for 36 years? What?
Also, when you're at that level, the parties just happen. You don't mark it on your calendar. You go, oh, I'm going to show up somewhere.
Right. I mean, it just, it's, yeah. So some of the things are really not ringing true for me. And
I can't stand
we'll
a liar. I will.
You
know. Anyone who does something wrong, your kids, a good friend, your spouse, you know, the lying is what I will never forgive. Mistakes you can forgive.
But the problem is the administration is wrought with, we'll call them half-truths. Mm-hmm. I mean, every day.
Oh, yeah, lying
the
Hillary.
The problem is, yeah, Hillary. The problem is the president of the United States says things that are not true.
I know,
I'm not
going to
call them lies, but, you know, when he says, whatever, the best economy in the history of the United, it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, mm-hmm. we as journalists are like, and so what happens? You dilute that. And then people are like, yeah, who cares?
You can find
it's
truth
kind of
in
true.
Anything, right, if you word it in the proper way to make it sort of sound
absolutely
true.
Not. See, I, as a journalist, no, facts are facts.
I get
it's
it.
It's true or it's not, period.
Tell Rudy Giuliani that, because he disagrees with you.
You can say what you want, and you can believe what you want, and you could argue your case, but when it, the bottom line is, it's a fact.
Right.
Facts are facts.
Right, should be. That's I'll tell
you
a fact.
Stop getting me riled up. What, are we going to play ping pong again?
You want to play ping pong again?
Here are the facts. Okay. I don't know how I'm going to watch Manifest, which debuts on NBC tonight, which you have gotten me excited about.
I'm so excited to see
what?
This.
What?
I hope it's good. It's like the new Lost. Or it's supposed to be the new Lost.
It involves a plane going down.
No, it doesn't go down. It's mysteriously vanished for 5 years. It goes from point A to point B, but when it lands, they find out that 5 years have passed, and they don't know why.
And then, is it all about those 5 years?
Yeah.
Because that sounds very much like Lost, right?
I don't care. I miss Lost. This is great.
I couldn't. I watched half of it, and then I gave up.
Right.
Didn't you feel
I got
unfulfilled?
Lost. No, not at all. I didn't care.
That's all right, because I took it to the end and still felt unfulfilled.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm not investing my time.
And The Voice debuts tonight with my girl, Kelly Clarkson. I love her.
Ooh.
I can't wait to watch that.
All right, Judy, thank you for hanging out.
Absolutely.
We'll close things up next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
That's it, Bill. That's all
it.
She wrote. Who is she? Angela
She's
Lansbury?
The writer. Yeah. Yep. Angela Lansbury.
Well, murder she wrote, not show. Show she wrote.
That's all the murder she wrote, Wendy. We're done. Monday's over. Tuesday's coming, probably tomorrow, right around 10 o'clock for the regular show. I'm guessing somewhere around 12:10 for the online experience. Thanks for listening, everybody. Greatly appreciated. We'll do it again tomorrow. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.